little bit.
Well, you know, today is one of the more, I've chosen a message, is one of the more difficult messages to preach. And today we're going to talk about the character and the work of Satan. Now, it's always a hard one to preach. He kind of tends to want to work against us. But we need just to understand, I was in the military. I spent a year over in Vietnam. And when I was in the service, we had to know who our enemy was. And here in church, we know who our enemy is. And we need to understand better who he is and what he does so we can counteract him and trust in God more. So today, just bear with me. This wasn't necessarily my choosing, but the Lord just laid it on my heart to do it. And I'd say, for those of you at home, I tend to forget that camera's even there. So I don't mean to ignore you, but I just forget that's even there. But anyway, this morning, if you would, if you're capable, can stand, would stand with me and turn to chapter 26 of Acts. Acts chapter 26. And we're just going to read 15 through 18. Acts 26. I'm going to go 15 through 18. And he says here, this is Paul's here. He says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto now I send thee, to open their eyes, and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that we can open your word. And I know this is not a popular subject for people to listen to, but Lord, I think it's something necessary for us to listen to think about, to understand. And Lord, I guess knowing more about Satan and understanding him better makes us all the more appreciate you and what you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord and our Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can be seated. To begin with, I want to make sure we understand that Satan is very powerful. Okay? I don't think anybody would argue that Satan's very powerful. But we want to always remember, and as we talk here about Satan today, remember that God is way, 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 way more powerful than Satan ever thought he could be. Okay? So always remember, we talk about something like this, that God is the ultimate, the one that knows it all. God knows what Satan is doing. He knows ahead of time what Satan's going to do. When Satan tempts you, he knows already what's going on. So just ask you to understand that as we look at this today, and help us to find out a little bit more about Satan that we can understand better. Now, and you think about it too, you know, Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. Okay? And he also taught us about Satan. So let's think about it. There are a number of names that Satan falls under. One would be Belial. Now, this is a character of somebody completely evil. If we break the word down, Belial, the first part of it, means without. And I love the way it says Yal, Belial. Is usefulness. So without usefulness, there's no good use for Satan. Okay? Without usefulness, a man with Belial is a worthless, lawless person. To take it another step, Satan is opposed to God, as an Antichrist is opposed to Christ. So Belial is referred to in the 2 Corinthians. That shows contrast of Christ and the Antichrist. So, as we look at all that, we want to think it through and understand it better. Beelzebub, that's another name for Satan. We hear that occasionally in the Scripture. Not much, but we hear it. Beelzebub means he's the ruler of evil spirits. He's the ruler of the evil spirits. He's known as, in demonology, as one of the seven princes of hell. Well, that's not a good thing to be known as, is it? One of the seven princes of hell. And, of course, the name Apollyon is destroyer. Apollyon is destroyer. He's considered the angel of the bottomless pit. And there's no way, no place you can get any worse off than in the pits of hell. You know, sometimes I've had people tell me, well, you know, don't you want to go to heaven? They say, well, no, I want to just go where all my friends are going. I'll tell you what, I don't know if anybody in my life, I don't know if anybody that I would wish to have go to hell. Now, there have been some people I really, really disapprove what they do. But that doesn't mean that I would want them to have to spend their eternity in hell. You know, if you follow the devil and follow his ways, that's where you end up. That's where you'll end up for sure. And would you think, like, if you strike a wooden match, and how when it first strikes, it kind of sizzles? And you wouldn't want to begin to strike that match and put it in your hand, get that settled, burn your flesh, something fierce. That's where hell is. That's where all the devil belongs. And I'm thankful that when we accept Christ our Savior, we no longer have to worry about that. But even though we know Christ is our Savior, we also know that we're going to have to fight against the devil. We're going to talk about some of that in a little bit here. One of the most knowledgeable men in all the Bible. Who am I talking about? Who's the smartest man other than Christ in the Bible?
Solomon.
You know, Solomon was, I mean, he asked, when he had a choice of what he wanted, he asked God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. Okay? Now, at one point, he was the smartest man. Earthly man, not Christ, but earthly. But what did he do? He was tempted of the devil. He had everything going for him. I mean, I can't imagine having everything I'd ever want in my life. I'd be a spoiled, worthless brat if I had everything I want. If the Lord gave me everything that I asked for, I'd be a spoiled, rotten brat. Okay? But I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't let me have everything I want. Well, Solomon did. But then what did he do? He let the temptations of Satan enter into him. And what did he do? He married multiple wives. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but I think one's a plenty, okay? I don't need 100 other bosses. You know, one's a plenty. Praise the Lord. We're working on our 49th year, so I guess it hadn't been all that bad for me. So, but here he married all these. But what happened when he married these wives? He knew he was not supposed to marry. He knew they were not the kind of people that God would want him to be associated with. But what did he do? He married them anyway. And then what happened? He started worshiping. He would build thrones for their gods. All these women he was marrying all had their own god. You know, I forget now the number, but there are umpteen gazillion different gods in some different religions. We only have one.
Amen.
Praise God, we only have one. And we have the only living God. The only living God. The only one that we can pray to that will answer our prayers. You think about that. Can you imagine some of these religions that they pray to a dead Buddha? Well, that Buddha's dead, long gone. Some pray to Mary. Well, she's dead, long gone. I'm sorry. Those are the Catholic religion, I'm sorry, but you know, she is not alive. She cannot hear your prayers. She cannot take your prayers to Jesus. That just can't happen. That's where people put other words in the Bible that's not really there. That's not the truth of God's Word. But Solomon was so silly, he thought he had everything, thought he knew everything, but what happened to him? He married the wrong women. He started worshiping their gods. What a disastrous life he ended up living. I'd rather be just common, plain old me and know a little bit. You tell me you know everything that's in the Bible, I'll call you a liar. I don't know if anybody can know that much. We have a good pastor friend in Wellington that, in fact, he is in hospice care right now. We need to be praying for him, Brother Clayton, Brother John Clayton. He's in hospice care now. His life's about to end. But he was probably the very most knowledgeable of the Bible of anybody I ever met. I mean, but yet he didn't know anywhere near all the Bible. Okay. But he was one that you could ask him a question, what verse is that in? Well, he could tell you what verse, and he could quote the whole chapter to go along with that verse. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time remembering one verse and all the words in one verse. Now, one real easy one, though, if you want to start for an easy one, is he wept. That's one of the easy ones to remember. But knowledge doesn't save us. Knowledge will not get us to heaven. Okay, we can know the Bible inside and out, and I think some of Satan's followers know the Bible inside and out. But the difference, and I believe Satan knows the Bible inside and out, but the difference is he's never applied the Bible and what it teaches to his life. He knows it. And I've known of people who sit in churches 30, 40, 50 years that know what's in the Bible, but never go to the point of saying, Jesus, I understand you died for my sins. I want you to come in my heart and live in my life and be my personal Savior. Knowing all that, like Solomon, knowing all that, but not taking action on it, is really, really a bad, bad situation. Okay? So if you're one sitting here, and to this morning even, you can probably quote some of the verses in the Bible. You could probably say you know half as much as a lot of us know. Of course, that's not saying too much. But you can know a lot of it, but if you don't apply it to your life, it's worthless for you to know it. So just think about that as we go on this morning. But the devil is a slanderer. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. Satan, get thee behind me. Now, he wasn't accusing Peter of not knowing the Lord as his Savior. What he was accusing him of was knowing the truth, but not saying it, not speaking it, not doing it. See, the thing we want to remember about Satan, he always will tempt us like he did Adam and Eve. He didn't tell them directly, eat that apple, but he hinted that if you'll do this, then you'll be smart as God. Okay? So Satan is one that will tempt us to doubt God. He tempts us to doubt what's in the Bible. The Bible says you shouldn't steal. Well, if I take this pen, you know, I need this pen for home. If I take this pen home from work, it's no great big deal. It's just a little pen, maybe 50 cents. Well, that's what Satan tells you to do. But you're doubting that it's really a thief, being a thief. Like we said a couple weeks ago about that little white lie stuff. You know, there is no such thing as a white lie. It's either a lie or it's the truth. Can't be both. But that's what Satan does. He tempts us. You know, and there's so many ways he can tempt us. And it's good to see as many people here today as there are. Some of you maybe were tempted to think, well, man, I just really don't feel like going to church today. That's Satan telling you that. But then if you wake up to the fact of saying, well, okay, Lord, I know the Bible says I should be in church. Don't let Satan win out. There's Sundays when, I know, in my life and times past, long before I was a pastor, there were times that I would get up, wake up in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. You can ask my wife. You know, my best conversations in the morning sound like, for about the first hour. But, you know, I'm not a morning person. But yet, God wants us to not think about that negative. And sometimes the best sermons I ever heard and ever applied to my life were messages when I didn't feel like going to church. I thought, well, I better go anyway. And then when I go to church, I'm so blessed because of being there. So the next time you're thinking about it, you wake up in the morning, you think, I don't really feel like going to church. You know, it won't hurt to miss one Sunday. Well, it won't make you go to hell if you miss a Sunday, but you'll miss a blessing. You know, just think about that. But that's, so Satan tempts you to not do what's right. You know, in a grocery store, if a cashier, if you buy something, say it's worth $7, you give her a 10, and they give you back change for a 20. Satan tells you, don't worry about it. That's her mistake. That's no problem. But you know what? There's two things. Number one, if that money doesn't belong to you, you're stealing. But number two, if you think about that poor cashier, I know years ago, I worked at Home Depot, many years ago. You know, if the cashiers were off two times in a row, they were fired. And they, just a mistake. It could have been an honest mistake. But two honest mistakes, they were fired. So if you don't correct that person and let her give you the right change, you could be causing that person to lose their job. And guess what? Guess who knows anyway? You know, you're speeding down, I'm not stepping on toes now, but you're speeding down the road going over the speed limit. You may not get caught by the cops. You may not see that light flashing. But who knows you've been speeding? And what the Bible says, we're to obey the laws of the land. Now, it's not always easy to want to go the speeds. Some of these construction zones, my goodness, you know, 14 gazillion of them on the turnpike out there. And every time you get going, cruising pretty good, all of a sudden, here comes another speed zone. But you know, whether they're working or not, we need to slow down for that speed zone. That's what the law of the land says. Taxes. How do you do on taxes? You know, some people aren't honest in their taxes. But you know what? You may get by with it. You may not get audited. You may cheat on your taxes. But God knows. And that is Satan tempting you to do that. That's Satan tempting you to do what's not right. Anything you're wanting to do something that's not right, that's literally Satan tempting you. Okay? He didn't say, well, just drive 90, nobody will catch you. What he tells you, though, in a quiet, easy way is, well, hey, who's going to know? There's nobody you're going to be passing today that knows you. So just do what you want to do. That's how Satan is. He's so subtle. Satan is wicked. He is so, so wicked. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Matthew chapter 6 and 13. This is part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. I'd rather call it the Lord's example of how to pray. But he says here, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord is telling us to ask Him to deliver us from evil. When you're tempted, you've got something in your mind that you want to do, and yet you know you shouldn't. We need to stop and say, Lord, I'm tempted to do this. Please don't let me, Lord. Deliver me from that temptation to do evil. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed, you know, I believe the Lord tells us in our minds if we just listen. He tells us right from wrong. We know right from wrong. And we just need to ask Him, hey, Lord, you know, help me to turn away from this and get away from here before I'm tempted to do this wrong. Okay? Listen to the Lord. Don't let Satan be the one to be so wicked as to tempt you. Satan is a massive liar. There's nobody in this world could lie better than what Satan can. I mean, he is a major, big-time liar. He's a liar and the father of lies. Okay? When he tempts you to do something, he'll tell you in a simple little way, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. You won't get caught. It's not that big deal. If you don't get caught, who cares? Well, that doesn't mean it's not wrong. That doesn't mean it's not wrong. Just because you don't get caught. That'd be like somebody having an affair with somebody other than his wife and saying, well, I didn't get caught, so it's okay. No, it's not. That's adultery no matter how you look at it. Period. So he is wicked. He's a liar. Again, he tempted Adam and Eve. He didn't say anything else except to lead them on to think that they would know as much as God then. He didn't say, eat that apple. He told them just to go ahead and do it. I mean, you know, that temptation to think wrong. Okay? And he's powerful. Satan can blind the eyes and minds of the unbelievers. Look with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 14 to 18. 26, starting 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And when I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom I persecuted. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both these things that I have seen and those things in which appear to be. Now, if you look at that, think about that a minute. What was Saul doing before this happened? What was he doing? He was persecuting the Christians. He was throwing them in jail. He was doing everything he could to destroy God's word on this earth. He was doing everything he could to destroy it all. Right? And then the Lord appears. Then the Lord appears. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing all this? Well, you know what? He didn't know any better. That could be his excuse. Well, I didn't know any better. I thought this was what we're supposed to be able to do. I'm just following the laws of my leaders. Well, let me tell you something. If out of Washington, D.C., if they come out and tell you you're not to have a Bible, don't throw your Bible away. Okay? I mean, they might be coming out there trying to tell us we have to turn in our guns. Well, I don't own a gun, but I'm just enough rebel, I think. If they actually try to do that, I might go out and buy one just to show them that they're not God. They're not going to control me. You know, I mean, I had enough of guns when I was in Vietnam. I don't need them now. But he is so wicked, he'll try to get you to understand you can do whatever you want to do. He's powerful. He blinds the eyes of the unbelievers. Saul was blinded until he met Christ. And then when he met Christ, boy, look at the change in his life. Satan can hinder the works of believers. Let me tell you something. I don't care how good you think you're doing, you can be misled by Satan. There are a lot of people and a lot of religions that don't teach the truth in Jesus Christ, the Savior, don't teach the truth of the Bible, that will lead you astray if you let them. That's why it's so, so, so important that you're careful as to listen as to what preachers you might listen to on the radio or what preachers you might listen to and watch on the television. There are so many that will lead you astray. So many. You know, I'm not saying that every preacher on TV is bad. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But you need to be careful of who you're going to listen to. Look with me. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Verse 18. He will hinder us as believers. He says, Wherefore would we have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Satan can hinder you and slow you down and keep you from doing things for the Lord that you want to do. He'll throw things in your way. Throw things so simple in your way. We need to be careful as we, you know, you think about coming to church or think about going out on visitation, all that. What hinders you from coming up? Now, I know some people can't walk. I can't go on visitation because I can't walk that much. But I can support those that go. I can pray for them that go. I could even, and I've told my wife what I really need to do is take my scooter and ride along with them. I can have all the literature and stuff there in my scooter while they go knock on the doors. They won't run out of stuff. Don't give them an excuse to stop too soon. Yeah. But don't let Satan hinder us. And if you know, like, if visitation on Saturday starting at 10 o'clock, how about just pray from 10 o'clock for an hour while they're out there doing visitation. Pray for them. Support them. See, don't let Satan hinder you from thinking visitation is not important. Visitation is highly important. The Apostle Paul recognized the hand of Satan in frustrating him in his attempts to do good and preventing the consummation of his strong desire to see his Christian friends. Paul wanted to come see his Christian friends, worship with them. but Satan got in the way. What about you? When you and I try to do something we need to do, does Satan ever get in our way to keep us from getting there? You know? I mean, it can be coming to church. It can mean, what about if your kids go to public school? What about some of the teachings that they teach in these public schools today? Does Satan hinder you from going to talk to the school superintendent or the principal or the teacher about their false teachings? Does Satan hinder you from doing that? As Christians, we're not standing up as much as we need to. You know, one time our son, they had a class and they had to talk about evolution. I told our son, he had to take that test to be able to get a passing grade for that class. So I told him what you want to do. Right across the top of that page, I do not believe in evolution. I believe in creation. You know, that's a good testimony. That's a good witness. See, some of these schools make our kids do things that we don't want them to do. Some of this stuff is going on now that we're fighting against in school. So just be careful. Your kids are going to school. Be careful what they do. But don't let Satan hinder you from going to school and speaking up for your kids' rights. Okay? And he is very good at scheming. He can and will take advantage of every opportunity and attack us in all situations and circumstances. Look at Jesus. How long did he spend tempting Jesus? 40 days and nights. Wow. And I think he knew before he started that he wouldn't win, but he wanted to take that chance anyway, just with hope. You know, if I go out there and try to bowl against, go out there to the bowling alley and try to bowl against some professional who averages, say, 230 a game, well, I probably only hit 230 a game and 20, 30 times in 10 years of bowling. You know, but to think I'd go out there and beat that guy, but I might go out and try it just for the fun of it, try to be, knowing I won't win. Okay? When you let Satan control you, don't let him control you enough that you get to a position where you know you can't win against him. Because you know what? Every one of us has help. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can withstand. So you have trouble from Satan. He's really bothering you, giving you a hard time, trying to get you to sin, trying to get you to do things that are wrong. Just remember, God is far, far more powerful. And God can get you through any of that. But he doesn't automatically take you through it. He wants you to go to him and ask him, Lord, I'm being tempted to do such and so. Please, Lord, help me get through this so that I don't fall into that temptation, that I don't do what's wrong. That's what we need to do. He is known to be an angel of light. Who is the light? Who is going to provide all the light in heaven without using a light bulb? The Shekinah glory of God. But Satan tries to take some of that light and do his own thing. But he didn't accomplish it. Not well. He deceives us. What seems to be pure and right. And there's sometimes he can deceive us enough that we think we're doing right. And maybe we fall into it. And we go ahead and do it anyway. But yet, he will deliver us from it if we merely ask him. And we may fall into that not willingly. Maybe we don't willingly, purposely sin. But sometimes we can fall into that trap and give way. That's how deceiving Satan can be. But when you realize it, confess it to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. Satan did lead me down a wrong path. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Lord, help me not to fall prey to that again. Okay. How's the temptress today? Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John. Chapter 2. That was wouldn't hurt if I get to John. Chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world. Now, what is the world? The Bible says, love not the world. You know, I like to just think of anything that's not the right relationship with Christ is the world. Okay? Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof. Look at the last part of this. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, things of the world can look attractive to us. You know, we're getting to the point where, and I don't mean negative, but I'm getting to the point where I'm getting closer to the end of my life. And I'm trying to take care of my wife and get money saved away to take care of her when I die. I like to say when I croak, but she didn't like me to use that. But I didn't use that word. But it's not because I love the world. It's because I love her and I want to take care of her. That's why I'm trying to get money put away. So when I do take my last breath, she'll still be taken care of. Okay? How does Satan tempt us today? Lust of the flesh. And lust cannot mean a lot more than just sexual thoughts, okay? Don't ever get to where you think that word is just... A lot of times we think lust, oh, man lusts after that woman. Well, there's a lot of lust that has nothing to do with anybody of the opposite sex. You can see somebody's got a nice car, and, well, I wish I had that car. Well, hey, why not be satisfied with the car that God's given you? You know, why not be satisfied with that one? Not worry about trying to have one that's 10 years newer that or costs $50,000. Just be satisfied and happy that God has given you what you have. What about pride? Many, many, many of us fall into the thing of pride. And it may not be, you know, say, you know, I'm so proud and humble I am. Woo! Who can equal me? I'm so proud and humble I am. That's not what we're seeing here. You can be proud of your children, your grandchildren, you should be. But not overly proud. You know, there's a difference there. You know, Muhammad Ali. Look at Muhammad Ali. Of course, most of us in here old enough to know who he is. The teens were in here, they wouldn't even know, who is he talking about? You know, he was so proud how he was humble. Seemed like a bee or whatever, but he was, the only problem is, most of the time he could back it up. Back it up with his fist, how humble, how powerful he was. But don't let those kind of things, self-gratification, material possessions. I mean, we should be proud of our homes. Whether it's an apartment, a home you own, build where you live. Be proud of where you are. Thank God that you have what you have. Satan sure didn't supply it for you. I promise you that. But God supplies our every need, not our greed. Now, some of us can maybe take it too far and get to where we greed. But Satan, God will take care of us in all that we need. And then one to think about, too. How many of you, it's not raise your hands, but think in your mind, how many of you have known of churches that split? Probably most all of us do. And you know why the churches split? Because some people let Satan get into a thought pattern. You know, I've heard of churches split. You know, like, let's just say when you're getting ready to put this carpet in this church, somebody wanted blue carpet in here instead of this, what is it, red, where it is. There have been people leave a church because they didn't get their blue carpet. Well, I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, and what does that have to do with the Bible, what color the carpet is? What does that have to do with your love for the Lord? You know, I don't care what color you... Well, I don't want some of those yucky greens in here, but some people think some of those cars are atrocious colored green, in my opinion. But I wouldn't want that for a carpet, but you know what? If that's what the church decided they want, I'd go with it. Because it has nothing to do with my salvation or your salvation. But how many of us have known churches have split because of people and their attitudes? And Satan is the one that blinded their eyes to loving each other and getting along with each other. What's ever happened to our world today where, you know, you're not allowed to have your own opinion? Oh my. People in D.C., you know, we have our opinion. We're going to control you in every circumstance. If you don't like it, you can move somewhere else. But go ahead and pay your taxes first. But we need to make sure that we don't get to that point ourselves where we don't agree. You know, Bill, if you think one thing and I think another, there's nothing wrong with that at all. We can agree to disagree. And that's what our churches need to be. We need to agree to disagree. I mean, I've never met a person in my life yet that I agree with 100% on everything. Probably never going to happen. But we can agree to disagree. And as long as it doesn't go against God's Word, if it doesn't go against the Bible and what the Bible stands for, if it doesn't go against that, then it's okay for us to agree to disagree. Okay? You know, you might say, well, Sunday school should be split up for first grade to fifth grade and then sixth grade to ninth grade, whatever. Well, what if you think, well, it should be first to fourth and fifth to tenth or whatever? As long as the kids are getting the Word of God taught to them, what difference does it make exactly what the age is for any one exact class? But don't think you have to have your way in controlling it all. You know, just that's what we need to understand. How many of us have ever been wrongfully persecuted? You try to witness at your place of employment, and oh my, you just get in trouble for it. But what about some people? If I bring up God in a conversation, some people say I'm wrong in doing that. And if I say something against Buddha, oh my, the whole world ends. But what about if somebody says something to me that's against Christ? Why is that just as bad? I'll tell you part of why it is. Because not enough of us have stood up for what's right. You know, when people use God's name to swear, you know, I don't like that. I have a problem with that. And I don't use your dad's name to curse, so don't use my daddy's name to curse. You know, I said that to some people before. I don't use your daddy's name to curse, and I really don't appreciate you using mine. So that's maybe a little thing, but, you know, years ago when I was selling automotive paint supplies and stuff, there was some of those guys in the body shops were pretty rough. But when they want to tell their dirty jokes, I just not listen, not participate. Just move on and come back and talk to them when they talk sensible. Now, when your kids come home from school, there's stuff that goes on in some of these schools, and I mentioned a minute ago, that downright against God, period. These public schools, because there's people in higher up places that don't believe in God, then they're just not going to teach it. And they're going to teach against it. So be sure you understand that your job, not to let it ride, but understand that Satan is the one putting that there. And it's our responsibility as believers to go and combat it. And if more Christians would speak up. I watched a thing the other day about this Madeline Murray O'Hare. They call her one of the most hated women in all of America. But you know why she won? Why she got God out of school? Because she stood up for what she thought was right. And she had a big mouth. You know, but she just constantly went after it until she finally won. Well, where were the Christians at that time that didn't come up and say, well, no, that's wrong, and not let it become a law? See? Satan made a lot of people say, well, whatever happens, we can't control it. See the difference there? See how Satan controls us or tries to control us? And then one last point, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there is worship of Satan going on. I'm sure there's some churches in this town, Satan worshiping churches. There are, no doubt. I don't even know Topeka. I've never looked at it, but I can almost guarantee you There's Satan worship churches in this town. Folks, that's going to take them nowhere but hell, period. Nowhere but hell. If you know somebody worships Satan, try to tell them the truth, but don't pound it on them. We mentioned Sunday school this morning. When you witness somebody, don't pound on them. Share God's Word. Now, trust. Trust. When you share God's Word with somebody and tell them how to get saved, they don't respond right away immediately. But don't go back with your Bible and pound them over the head and try to drive it into them. Water it with your prayers. Water it with your tears. Trust them. Trust that God, through His power, will bring them to know Him and Savior. Now, Christ, when He was walking on this earth, He couldn't get everybody to follow Him. And if Christ couldn't get everybody to accept Him, how do you and I think we can make everybody accept Him? But that doesn't mean we don't keep trying. So we can combat Satan in our lives by living the way we're supposed to live, by doing things we're supposed to do, by listening to God when He speaks to us, and He tells us to go do this or go do that, witness to your niece, witness to your uncle, whatever. When God tells us to do that, that little small voice in our head, we need to listen to Him and not let Satan deceive us and not listen to Him. So think about it. I know this is not a message that's going to bring people to rejoice and be excited, woohoo! But sometimes we need to remember who our enemy is and how can we combat our enemy. The best way to combat our enemy is to pray. Lord, Satan has tempted me to think this is good. I know it's not, so Lord, deliver me from it. How many of you said the Lord's Prayer, what everybody calls the Lord's Prayer, 500 times? You ever think, deliver me from evil? You ever think about that? See, don't get so hardened to things that you think they'll correct themselves. We as believers need to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We just thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that we can know who the devil is. That we can know what he does. And we can know how he influences our life and our thinking. But Lord, we also know what You can do. How You can control us. How if we'll just let You be in control of our life. And when we realize the tempting of Satan, that we can just come to You and say, Lord, this is a Satan. Don't let this happen to me longer. Help us to learn to recognize when Satan is tempting us. And when we recognize that, then to get our knees before You in prayer and ask You to deliver us. Thank You that You went to the cross to shed Your blood to cover all that Satan can throw at us and what we get into. But thank You that we know that when You went to that cross, You died for all of our sins. So help us not fall into that trap of a sinful life, but enjoy the joyous life of living for You, Lord. Thank You for that joy You give us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.